You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Hello and welcome, you beautiful MFs, my beautiful MFs. I appreciate you being here. Lots to talk about today, especially in the best movie ever. We got somebody got cooed. We've got war in the Middle East. We've got the global communists celebrating the results of an election in one of my favorite countries in the world. Well, favorite cities, for sure. Top three or four. Budapest is in my top three or four, but probably not countries. And I'll talk about the Pope. I'll give you a tech and money update. But first, we shall do funny stuff. Artemis Deuce went on a round trip around the moon to the other side of the moon. And I think that is a perfect metaphor for the United States. We achieve big things, but we've got some of the main guys stinking up the joint. And I say that because the toilet kept breaking on Artemis Deuce, which I'm sure is just a wink from the simulation. The coolest post I saw online about that round trip around the moon was somebody posted, I guess one of the astronauts shared a picture of Earth from right near the moon where you could see both in the shot. And the caption said, "We're all in this picture except for four of us." I like that. But that's not funny. Let's see. I do have funny posts here. Funnies of the week. Okay, Soup. The account Soup. For years, I thought oncologist was just the doctor they kept on call at all times. Douglas Bonaparte, who's a funny financial follow on X, he said, "If I win the lottery, no one around me is going to be broke. And I'm very serious about that. I will move to a wealthy neighborhood." Robert Griffin, remember the former Baylor quarterback, played a little bit in the NFL. He's not known for funny posts, but he had a funny one. And the humor of it will be apparent if you're a parent. How about that? He said, "You don't know parenting until you send your 3-year-old over the edge because you sang along to a song they didn't want you to sing to." Eden Dranger, I've shared posts of his before. He said, "When I was a kid, being out in public in your pajamas meant your house was on fire." Yeah, now it means you're just about to board a flight. Young Stacken said this. He said, "If you think about it, a scientist's whole job is to F around and find out." And that's true. The Pepsi account, the corporate account, posted, "How do you drink Pepsi?" To which somebody replied, "I ask for Coke and they tell me they don't have any." Zeh Duck says, "Golf is the ultimate cuck activity. The crowd cheers for whoever wins. If it's not an American, the crowd at the Masters should be making noise like it's third down." Clara on X says, "If you have a public transportation fetish, you can get off at every stop." DFW Ping asks, "After a threesome," so DFW Ping is a woman, she says, "After a threesome, is the other girl supposed to leave or lay there with us?" And the top comment was, "Y'all both supposed to leave." I went to Taco Bell the other night, first time probably since college. I used to eat it a lot when I was in college. I would eat dinner in the cafeteria after baseball practice. And then go into the weight room. And then at about 9, 10 p.m., I would head out to Taco Bell just to get another meal in. But those crunchy chicken chipotle sliders, they're new. So good. You should go there too. If you haven't been in 25 years, put it on the list because, well, I'll tell you something that bothered me. I hadn't been to a drive-thru in a long time, except for Starbucks probably. But when I place my order in the drive-thru, the guy tells me it's $6.47. $6.47. Yeah, I got two of them. And he asked me, he said, "Did you want to round up the 53 cents to help out the Boys and Girls Club?" And I hate that so much. It's bad enough that everybody wants a tip nowadays, and that the baseline tip, the standard tip, keeps going up in terms of percentage for no reason, unless you consider greed to be a legitimate reason. By the way, they're doing that in Mexico now, too. So a propina in Mexico, which is a tip, used to be 10%. Well, not anymore. I tend to think in 20 years when people are bragging online about how generous they are, you know how people brag that, oh, I'd never leave less than a 25% tip. And then they tell you, you've got no business eating at a restaurant if you can't afford to tip at least 25%. Well, in 20 years, they're going to say, you have no business eating out at a restaurant if you can't afford to leave a 50% tip. They're attempting to manipulate you, folks. There's no reason for the percentage to go up as the price of food goes up. No, that you get it, I know. But the reason it's so egregious that you would ask somebody like for charity at a drive-thru is because they're making your food. And what flashes in your mind is, well, if they're going to spit in somebody's food, it's probably going to be the guy who has no business eating at a Taco Bell because he can't round up 53 cents to help the billion-dollar corporation with a tax write-off. It's so, it bothers me so much, but maybe I won't do, maybe that'll keep me from Taco Bell in the future. Speaking of, did you see the DoorDash driver at the White House who brought food to Trump and he walks outside and says, does this look staged? And then the reporter asked if the White House was a good tipper and Trump pulls out a Hunsky from his pocket and hands it to her. And she says, yes. But Taco Bell got me with those commercials, those crispy, crunchy sliders. And it probably means that I'm watching too much TV because I watched the Final Four and then I watched Rory McIlroy go back-to-back at the Masters. I was watching on Sunday. Well, I saw the Mike Vrabel thing. I've been paying attention to that, which I don't know what to think about that. All I know is that her resignation letter had moreover in it. And the moreover is now, in addition to too many M-dashes, moreover is the tell that it's AI written. I have friends who write on Facebook with AI, and it's so obvious. And I look at the comments, and they're like, oh, you are such a good writer. It's so obviously written by AI. The other tell is not this, but that, that, and that. And short three-word sentences, and there's so many tells. You could even put somebody's writing into AI and say, is this AI written? And they'll tell you, yeah, this is at least very AI-assisted kind of thing. But Sunday, what was I watching Sunday? Oh, we were watching the Masters, and my daughter didn't know what golf was. And that's on me. But on one of the holes, she turned around and said, oh, he hit the ball more farther than that hole in the ground. So the past few nights, we watched The False Prophet, I think it's called. It's four episodes, and it's worth watching. I'm not going to spoil it for you because it is worth watching. But you just know that some people are so dumb. I know that my audience is smart, and any of you would have seen straight through this D-bag false prophet, this guy claiming to be a prophet. I've never seen somebody more anxious and insecure and just sloppy. The guy is he was a total joke. He's serving life. Well, I can't tell you what he's doing now, but sorry. And the fact that nobody could see through this dude who was living with him is astounding. Guess what this guy wanted to do? If you had to guess, what was he wanting to do? Or what do you think he would say God told him to do? If you said, sex up all the guy's wives and daughters, you are correct, sir. Ugh, so gross. I mean, one of the girls was 9 years old that he married. And it's the first time I've ever seen a cult leader driving a Bentley. He wore a white leather jacket pretty much the whole show. He drives a black Bentley with a white leather interior. And then he had a motorcade of black Range Rovers in front and back of his little motorcade when he cruised around town. I don't think he had a job, but one of the guys at the compound in the house thought that he was a prophet and he had a successful business and he would give him all kinds of money and his wife and his daughters. But he was about as hard to see through as this Swalwell character. I'll have more to say on that when I give you an update in the best movie ever. But for now, I'll just say what I always say. What is obvious to you and me is not obvious to most people. And I'm sure there are leftists out there who are wondering how they could have been fooled for so long by this Swalwell character. They are doing that, right? No, they're not. Their brains don't work that way. A normal person would do some reflection and maybe come out with a statement saying something like, well, he seems sincere to me, but boy, was I wrong. But since they can't do that, admit they were wrong about somebody, they will unfortunately continue to shield themselves from ever being able to discern who is a good guy and who is in it for themselves. That's the main question. Well, here's a hint. Communists don't care about you. They're in it for themselves every time. And they will turn on you as they have turned on this guy. It took them, what, 24 hours? They had it all lined up and they just flat ruined that guy in a day. The communists, they keep blackmail on their leaders so they can control them. And they could see that this guy was going to split the communist vote in California, putting at risk their one-party rule, and they needed him to drop out of the race. But he wasn't going to do that. And so the pro-democracy party, they cooed him, just like they did to Bernie and Biden. But if I were him, I would just feel fortunate that they didn't kill me. I was going to wait till the best movie ever, but since we're talking about him, he's definitely a scumbag. But the first few allegations that I saw, they didn't seem like anything illegal. In fact, they weren't even calling it illegal. They were calling it misconduct. So yeah, some of the things that came out earlier this week were nothing burgers. Like him asking a staffer to SSD in the car and then her claiming that she had to do it. Like, yeah, boo, you have to. Like in all the equality you've attained, you somehow have no agency whatsoever. And if you work for a man, whatever he asks you to do, yeah, you got to do it, right? If he asks you to run a barefoot 5-minute mile, you better get to running. Equality ought to be tied to accountability, to where you can't have one without the other. But this first accuser, she said it happened in 2019, and then she went out with him again in 2024, met him for drinks, come on. And then she blacked out and didn't remember anything till the next day. And then when the CNN interviewer pressed her for why, or asked if she had ever told him no, she magically remembers that, I did push him off and say no, but otherwise was comatose. But communists are ruthless. They will eat their own, the pro-democracy party. It's a tale as old as communism itself. It's part of the deal when you sign up to be a useful idiot. They will turn on you if you threaten their power. It was obvious they had all this set and ready to go, and CNN was in on it. But once Pelosi is against you, your career is done for. And she's the one who created the guy, by the way, and protected him for years because he was useful. He was their attack dog that they would let off the leash so that he could go after Trump or whoever. He was one of the designated liars, as Scott Adams used to call them. He was sent on TV just to lie. So if it always seemed weird how they would go on TV and lie all the time, it's not you. It is weird. The era we're living through is bizarro, but I assume they have dirt. The Communist Party has dirt on all those people who go on TV and lie with a straight face. And some of them are good at it. They're good actors. Some aren't, but Swalwell was a pretty good one. He didn't have any obvious tells that I could see. And the first time I heard of him was when he attacked Kavanaugh. I was thinking, what if the good guys were bad guys? What would they do? Like, would they pay an E. Jean Carroll or a Blasey Ford to say that he raped them 30 years ago? She wouldn't need to know what year it was, or she wouldn't have had to have met him ever. But I don't see any woman doing that. Like, why is there no woman suing for millions of dollars? Would it need funding, like the lawfare funding that Reid Hoffman provided in New York? I don't know the answer to that. But the whole dating a communist spy, I don't hear anybody talking about the fact, my opinion, he wasn't unknowingly dating a Chi-Com. They're all on the same team. They're global communists. And if Trump is as smart as I think he is, he's taking apart communism one country at a time. But he needs to do it internally, too. But I'm glad this guy's gone. Hopefully, he'll have to pay with more than just his career for being such a liar and a creep who was on the side of trying to destroy the country with the Russia collusion hoax and the Kavanaugh thing and J6. It's all clearly a political hit job because, as I said, I think CNN is in on it and they're the propaganda arm of the Communist Party. And CBS, too. I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes, but maybe I'll talk about that, too. But they're all saying the same thing. I believe the survivors. It was coordinated. They were saying they believed the survivors back when there were only women who agreed to talk if their name and faces were hidden, which, to me, further proves that they knew all along about the guy. Then finally, people started to show their face and But that's how they operate with blackmail. It's crazy. The woman who came out and read a statement at the press conference, do you believe her? I can't tell if she's telling the truth or not. We don't have any baseline of her. But I'll say this. You don't get to be raped and choked and think you died and then not tell anybody about it for 8 years and then expect people to believe you. Now, supposedly she has texts that prove that it actually happened. And if so, I think she probably should have shared those in the press conference. Otherwise, I don't know what to believe. We'll have to wait and see. But she said some things I thought were red flags. She said she had a boyfriend at the time and said, I would never cheat. Yeah. Never on a boyfriend or in general. Either way, that's like saying I would never lie. Or when she said I would never have a consensual sexual encounter with Eric Swalwell. Come on, you're going to need to back that up with more than I would never do that. Like, tell me your history of being raised in the church and all the charity work that, you know, show me something other than, you would never lie or you would never cheat. Okay. Yeah, I need to know you married young and wanted lots of babies, something. You get what I'm saying. But we'll have to wait and see some proof on a lot of these, see what justified Pelosi's political assassination. But regardless, dude is a creepy loser and deserves what's coming to him. It must be real bad if he withdrew his candidacy for governor and then resigned from Congress. I saw where even his best friend turned on him too. Supposedly, on that video where Swalwell is trying to kiss that prostitute, supposedly his best friend, who's also in Congress, he was in the room, and when Swalwell was trying to kiss the hooker, and he looked very, very nervous in the interview that I saw. There were rumors he was flirty. Yeah, bud, you know more than that. And there's also been talk about the power dynamic between boss and subordinate, about how they should never date. I don't agree with that. And there was something Michael Tracy said, who I'm not a big fan of Michael Tracy, but I thought he had a good take on this, about all the talk about how men shouldn't date their female staffers or subordinates. And I agree with him. He said, how many of your parents and grandparents met through some kind of male-female subordinate relationship, perhaps at the workplace? You know, the kind of relationships that everyone now feels entitled to declare intrinsically abusive, and they'll complain about birth rates. Yeah, we're facing civilizational collapse due to lack of baby making, and we don't want to further harm the intergender dynamic more than it already is. I've seen that work with close friends and family, where the guy marries somebody that worked for him. So it looks like Katie Porter will win the Democratic nomination in California. She got community noted last few days, probably the best community notes I've seen. She said, in light of the allegations of sexual assault, Eric Swalwell should resign from Congress and end his campaign for public office. But those decisions do not absolve him of taking responsibility for his misconduct, especially when he has attempted to silence and retaliate against these victims. Too often, men escape any consequence for sexual misconduct by stepping out of power. That is a first and necessary step towards justice because it limits the ability for further harm. I stand with these women as they seek justice. Then the community note, it says, readers added context. Katie Porter escaped consequence of physically and verbally abusing both her husband and with a pot of scalding hot mashed potatoes and staff. So abusing both her husband and staff. Actually, she got community noted twice. So earlier that same day, early in the week, she said, the allegations against Congressman Swalwell are horrifying. I'm thinking of the courageous women who have come forward to share their stories. We believe you and we stand with you. The whole believe women, believe all women, that saying believe half the population, believe half of humans. I don't understand how anybody in California making less than, or did I share the community note? Yeah, so she's sorry. So she says, we believe you and we stand with you. The community note says, Katie Porter is an alleged domestic abuser who poured scalding potatoes on her ex-husband's head. She's also been seen on camera verbally berating staff for minor slights and has been described as abusive herself. What I was going to say is I don't understand how anybody can continue to live in California if you make less than $250,000 a year. Just continuing to live under one party rule that means incompetence when you don't have anybody competing for these mayorships and stuff in LA or wherever. And they want more of your tax dollars. Like, get out of there. Every communist program for the homeless or unhoused, every dollar for healthcare that you have to run through them first, that is enriching them. You remember when they thought Elon was a good guy because he was revolutionizing the car industry with electric cars? What do they think now? That he's just in it for himself? I mean, they're so bad at discerning who's good and who's not because they're one of the bad guys themselves. They think that he's doing this to get rich? The commies were doing Molotov cocktails and firebombing Tesla dealerships. That was 1 year ago. That was not long ago. And now the guy's about to embark on the biggest IPO in history. I saw where Clay Travis said, Tim Walz is so upset the SpaceX IPO is about to set records that he's having trouble with spirit sprinkles and leg kicks. But yeah, they think he's trying to enrich himself. So he could do what? Rent a bigger studio apartment or buy a piece of furniture? Or you know how leftists think. They think he's going to be able to buy elections with more money. But I don't think he put more money into this last election than Zuckerberg did in the one before that. So they like their oligarchs. They like them communist. I get it. Just like your pro-democracy when you don't have to participate in it. When you don't have to put your leaders up to a vote. That hasn't happened in a long time. Where people got to vote on their Democrat candidate. Or you like to spend money on the poor as long as it's not your money. I saw the other day, there was a guy, he was doing street interviews in some leftist stronghold. I don't know where he was, but he started asking white people on the street if they were in favor of reparations for African Americans. And after they said yes, he tried to pin them down on how much they thought was reasonable. And what they came to was $1,500 a month. And so he said, oh, that's great. I'm glad you're in favor of reparations. Here's a black guy right here. Can you start by just giving this African-American gentleman $20? And to a man, they were like, I don't have cash. So he would say, no problem. He accepts Cash App and Venmo. And they all found an excuse to hightail out of there. But Elon Musk, I say this a lot, but he's doing more to improve the lives of people than probably anybody who's ever lived. And therefore, he deserves to be the richest person who's ever lived. He's trying to extend consciousness, for Christ's sake. Who else is working on that? Trying to ensure that consciousness survives beyond anything bad that might happen here on Earth. And Neuralink, that heals people who can't hear, it gives them the ability to hear. He saved free speech, of course. Starlink gives internet access to people all over the globe. But sadly, useful idiots can't tell a good guy from a bad guy, and so we have this constant, ongoing struggle with dummies. Some stinking up the space shuttle. But let me read you something Rob Henderson posted. This is about communism, and I know you probably already know this, but it'll serve as a good reminder since it's not taught in schools. It says, the people most committed to communism in the Soviet Union weren't the workers. It was the educated elite. A retrospective study conducted in the 1990s titled Work Ethics and the Collapse of the Soviet System examined which groups were most supportive of the Soviet system. The researchers found that, compared to factory workers and semi-skilled laborers, individuals in white-collar positions, especially those with higher levels of education, were significantly more likely to express loyalty to the Communist Party. In some cases, support was 2 to 3 times higher among elites. In other words, the strongest support for the system came not from those at the bottom, but from those in relatively advantaged positions within it. This runs counter to the common assumption that egalitarian or redistributive ideologies are primarily driven by the least well-off. In practice, they are often most strongly endorsed by people closer to the top of the social hierarchy, those who benefit from the system's institutional structure, who are positioned to navigate it successfully. Yep. Just a little history lesson there. So if you're wondering with every issue in America why it seems to be 80-20, within the 20, what you probably have is 19-1, with the 1 being the long-faced elites who stand to get rich stealing everybody's money. You know, they masquerade as the all-benevolent, generous good guys while handing your money to each other. One's handing it to other ones and then letting some trickle down to the 19. who are the useful idiot, haters, ugly people who resent the, they resent the 21 through 99. And they're jealous and envious. Let me tell you something Solzhenitsyn said. Oh, so by the way, trickle-down economics, I just explained it to you. And so they were projecting again when they came up with this political term of trickle-down economics. Let me tell you something Solzhenitsyn said, and see if this sounds familiar at all. He said, you must understand the leading Bolsheviks who took over Russia weren't Russians. They hated Russians. They hated Christians. Driven by ethnic hatred, they tortured and slaughtered millions of Russians without a shred of human remorse. Bolshevism committed the greatest human slaughter of all time. The fact that most of the world is ignorant and uncaring about this enormous crime is proof that the global media is in the hands of the perpetrators. Yeah. In other words, the media had been captured. That's how they were able to pull off what they did. And I'm concerned, we should be concerned that it'll happen again. What else in the best movie ever? I wanted to talk about Hungary. So 16 years, Viktor Orban was the leader in Hungary. He was voted out on Sunday in favor of a supposed conservative. They used the Trump playbook on him, said he was a dictator and a far-right Putin puppet, and all that worked. It's amazing how you can just vote your way out of a right-wing dictatorship, am I right? They also accused him of corruption. I don't know if that's true or not. What I can tell you is when I was there, Uber drivers tended to be anti-Orban, and then the white-collar workers that I would meet at the office, they were pro-Orban. So I was watching the DEI hire on CNN, Abby Phillip. So she said Hungary secured its freedom from the Orban regime. She said it with a straight face that Hungarians had secured their freedom. But she's a joke. She has no idea what she's talking about. But their voter turnout was something like 80%, which is crazy good. And it probably, I think it was time for them to have a new leader. I mean, I wouldn't have voted for this other guy because Orban was the strong masculine leader that you want to keep you protected. But 16 years, that's a long time. But to say people weren't free, that's so stupid. But thanks to this strong leader they had, they were free from a lot of the crap that Western Europe has to deal with now. I love spending time in that country. Budapest it's like walking on a dream. How can I explain? The beautiful architecture, beautiful people, it's walkable, it's affordable. It hasn't been overrun with migrants. The public transportation is excellent. I could go on and on. The food is great. But I'm afraid this guy they've elected is another Spanberger, the governor of Virginia, where she campaigned as one thing and then got in office and turned out to be something else entirely. And I think the giveaway with the guy they elected, Peter Magyar is his name, the giveaway that this could be bad for Hungary is you had all the global communists cheering on his election, even though he's a supposed conservative. Hillary, Obama, Keir Starmer, Vladimir Zelensky, Macron, president of France, the EU, Merz, the president of Germany, the EU, even Alex Soros, that fruitcake. I'll read you what he said. He said, the people of Hungary have taken back their country, a resounding rejection of entrenched corruption and foreign interference. How about that? He's talking about foreign interference. So the folks with a reputation for foreign interference are claiming they don't want foreign interference. Always opposite day with them. Soros even had an EU flag in his post. But one of the reasons Hungary has been such a wonderful place to visit is they put their money where their mouth is. They wanted to keep their culture and not have it overrun by refugees who never return home, by the way, except for vacation. No refugees or migrants from North Africa and the Middle East got to Budapest. It was very safe to walk around at night. And the difference between Budapest and Western Europe capitals is it's obvious right away. It's like as soon as you step foot in Hungary, it's just like what you experience in Poland. It's wonderful. But Orban, he was a cockstrong dude. He cared about his country and his culture so much that he was willing to pay a lot of fines to the EU to maintain their borders. The EU levied, 200 million euros fine for not implementing the EU's migration policies. In 2020, they were supposed to start allowing all these asylum seekers into the country. Why 2020, you ask? Let's just say that 2020 is the year that will live in history books for a very long time. Once cooler heads prevail, once distance from it can foster more objectivity. They also had a daily penalty of, I think it was €1 million per day that was added for their continued noncompliance. No foreign interference there. But all in total, it was with legal costs and all the penalties and fees, it all totaled up to about $500 million in fines. That's as of last year. So I'm afraid Hungary will soon look like Britain and France. And if so, you're going to see rapes skyrocket, as they have in the countries I just mentioned there, and all the other countries in Europe who allowed mass migration. Sweden, I've talked about before, the rape of Sweden has been terrible. So back in the 90s, Sweden had about 1,500 rapes a year. Last year, over 10,000 rapes. Sadly, as I always say, for many people to stop voting this way, sadly and unfortunately, they'd have to be raped themselves. Because communists lack empathy, as I've covered many times. So until the boot is on their neck, they will continue to vote in a way that allows them to think highly of themselves for their version of compassion, regardless of the terrible consequences, like the raping of your women and children by savage monsters. If you ever want to get yourself mad, go look at rape statistics in Western Europe the past 20 years, since they started allowing an invasion. The quick and dirty of it, I'll give you a quick example. Let's take the UK. They have 117 rapes per 100,000 people. 117. How many does Hungary have? 5. And I know it's possible this is correlation, not causation, except that over 60% of the rapes are committed by immigrants. But I get it. It's hard for women and the youth vote to appreciate not being raped. I'm sure that's correlation to the fact that the groups best known for being ingrates just happen to not appreciate that their country hasn't been overrun by rapists. How many terror attacks do you think there have been in Hungary under Orban in the last 16 years? Answer, zero. But people aren't grateful. They're going to find things to complain about. So they've elected a long face to serve as their leader. And I'm sure it'll look like Brussels. I was going to say breakfast. I'm sure it'll look like Brussels before too long. We shall see. There was a guy who calls himself the climate warrior who said something I wasn't expecting. Let me pull it up. It's on my phone. Give me just a second. Climate warrior says, I lived in Hungary for several years under the Orban dictatorship. The funny thing was, people could and did say whatever came into their heads. Protests were held in front of the parliament. And there was a gay cruise bar down the road, and Orban held elections. And yet the country was a dictatorship. Whereas in the UK, people tend to be distinctly guarded. And if they do say the wrong thing very publicly, they get locked up. And yet it's a free country. Once you understand that words can mean whatever we want them to mean, it begins to make sense. Good on you, climate warrior. Let's talk about Cuba. So the Cuban president on Sunday morning was interviewed. The guy's name is Miguel Diaz-Canel. He was on Meet the Press, and he was asked what he thought about the U.S. saying that Cuba is next. And he said he would give his life for the revolution, which is what Iranians said too. And this president of Cuba added that their political system is designed to achieve social justice. You don't say. You mean to tell me communists around the world say they're doing social justice? Yes, they do. The great Thomas Sowell once said, envy was once considered to be one of the seven deadly sins before it became one of the most admired virtues under its new name, social justice. But I was surprised by what this guy was saying, the Cuban dictator. I mean, if there was ever a time to be a little deferential toward Trump and the U.S., that time would be after you just watched America grab the leader of one of your main allies in his PJs, I'm talking about Maduro, by using a weapon that enabled them to lose no lives in the process. We lost no American lives while rendering the guys protecting the Venezuelan dictator, who happened to be Cuban, rendered them non compos mentis, like totally ineffective And yeah, we deployed this fancy futuristic weapon and they couldn't do anything. They got dizzy and it was incredible. And then you've got that same enemy, America, who did Operation Midnight Hammer with stealth bombers that went completely undetected and untouched. When this guy was asked about their political prisoners, he said, "There are plenty of people in Cuba who speak out against the revolution who aren't in jail." So that's good, if you're grading on a curve, I guess. And just in the last week or so, it's been revealed that Americans have technology that enables our forces, U.S. forces, to locate somebody from their heartbeat. That's the ghost murmur. So you could be 40 miles away and detect somebody's heartbeat. Supposedly, that's how they found the guy in Iran. I don't know, but if that's true, if we really have that ability, I would be trying to get on our side. But not this Cuban dictator. He said they would defend themselves, but I'd be careful if I were the Cubans. If you want your communist utopia to continue, you should be playing nice, but I don't think it's going to continue. A part of Latin American culture, of course, is to have machismo, to talk tough, and Maduro did it too. And I watched the interview. I didn't think he was an a-hole about it, but still, if ever in your life there was a time to be effusive in your praise of another leader or just be as respectful as possible, that time is now. I think the Iranians are doing this too. Like you just try to outlast Trump if you can and just pray that the communists in America take back power in 28. But it appears that they're going to go down in a blaze of glory like the Iranians, which is sad because in Cuba, they're rationing food right now. They don't have enough electricity in their utopia. They've got an economic crisis and an oil blockade on their hands. And as we speak, well, so this is the first time that's happened since the Cuban Missile Crisis, by the way. That was 1962. We did that one because, well, I don't want to get into that, but their oil is being imported from Venezuela. And so we've got beef with them too. And us doing that, putting a stop to their oil, it led to diplomatic talks. And right up front, Cuba agreed to release 51 political prisoners. And then they released 2,000 more prisoners on April 3rd this year. And just to give you an idea, the size of Cuba, how big it is, it's about the size, geographically, it's about the size of Tennessee. And it has a smaller population than Georgia. So somewhere around 11 million. Let's finish. No, I don't want to finish yet. Let's talk about Pope Leo. I said I'd talk about him. So all popes are going to be against war. There's nothing new there. And I don't have a problem with Trump saying that the Pope is weak on crime. Unless and until the Vatican starts housing migrants in Vatican City, I'm with Trump and Vance. I don't want to hear him talk about anything political. But you know, something I thought was stupid was Trump posting a picture of himself in what looked like religious garb, and then he said it was him as a doctor. That felt very Democrat, like just gaslighting us. I didn't like that at all, and I'm glad he took it down. But the Pope, he's a Chicago guy, and he met with David Axelrod, who's not religious at all, as far as I know, and then decided to speak out on Iran, and then 60 Minutes of Propaganda coordinated that with three priests to come on to poo-poo Trump. So none of that's cool. You guys want to align yourself with the global commies? That's your prerogative, fathers. But just remember, as you wear that collar every day, what communists do to Catholic priests. And wise up. Come on. Let's do some money stuff. Yeah, I had a lot more to say, didn't I? So according to David Cass, to be in the top 1% of U.S. households by wealth, you would need a net worth of a little over $13 million. The median U.S. family net worth is approximately $192,900. To be in the top 10% of U.S. households in terms of wealth, you'd need roughly $1.9 million. And to be in the top 25% requires about $659,000. Price increases over the last 5 years, this is CPI data shared by Mr. Bellello. Used cars over the last 5 years up 18%, new cars 20%, food at home 26%, food away from home 31%, shelters up 29%, gasoline up 34%, feels more than that, right? There must have been a spike 5 years ago. There's an account on X, ASA, A-S-A. He said, if gas prices keep going up, it'll be cheaper to snort cocaine and run everywhere. Electricity up 37%, home prices 38%, auto insurance 59%, ground beef up 66%, and coffee up 106% for coffee. It seems like Starbucks would have doubled the price of their flat whites, right? I guess they know that people would never buy a $10 cup of coffee. But actually, yes, they would, right? I mean, if you had said 30 years ago, one day you'll be buying a $5 cup of coffee, you'd have said, no way, when I could make it at home for 10 cents. But people do it. The one I didn't see is home insurance. My home insurance has doubled in the last 5 years, so it's up 100%. U.S. Consumer Sentiment Index, that's something kept by the University of Michigan, home of the NCAA basketball national champions. They started keeping this in 1952, and it shows that consumer sentiment has never been lower than it is today. Last week was the best week the stock market has had since November. Tesla stock extended its losing streak to 8 straight weeks. Did you pick up any on the dip? Yo, see. It also looks like Microsoft, I've seen where that stock has been recommended a lot online. It stands to make a few billion dollars from unfrozen EU funds following this election in Hungary and the EU expansion that's sure to follow. I wanted to talk about the Elon Musk, Sam Altman case, because that's interesting. There's an account, Sarah AI. She posted an article about all the recent developments in that case, and she was saying that a lot of people think it's about ego and jealousy that Musk is going after Altman because he's got a huge ego, and that's what Sam Altman wants you to think. But what's at stake is whether a nonprofit can raise billions of dollars in donations to build its AI that they say is going to change the world and then quietly convert the company into, in OpenAI's case, an $850 billion for-profit company. So OpenAI is the company that started doing this. That's Altman's company. And then Anthropic followed the same path. So Anthropic was started by a bunch of former OpenAI employees, the defectors, and then even XAI, which is Elon's, they used language in promoting their AI, like it was quote-unquote for humanity, and they used that to try to recruit better talent and raise more money. And if Elon should win this suit, what it would do is expose all the AI companies that were built on this model of being nonprofits for the public benefit. And it's likely going to bring lawsuits by all the people who donated money and shareholders who want to claw some of it back. So Altman is panicking and he's going on a lot of interviews. But just last week, Musk amended his lawsuit to say that if he wins the $150 billion that he's suing for, that it's all going to go back to OpenAI's charity arm and zero money to Musk. He's also demanded that Altman be removed and OpenAI revert to nonprofit status, which would render moot all of Altman's claims that this is all about Musk's ego and jealousy. So the timing of it couldn't be worse for OpenAI because they were planning, like SpaceX, to do an IPO pretty soon, a huge IPO at, what, they raise $122 billion and their IPO was supposed to be at a valuation of $852 billion. Somebody told me I kept saying evaluation last week when I meant valuation. Sorry about that. And Microsoft is concerned because they've got $135 billion of exposure to OpenAI. The real issue is whether the moral cover used by just about all these AI companies, the whole industry, whether that was legal or not, whether it was legal or fraudulent. What else I got here for you? Since we talked about envy a bit today, there's an excerpt from a book called Adam Smith Can Change Your Life by Rush Roberts. How Adam Smith Can Change Your Life, An Unexpected Guide to Happiness and Human Nature. It says, just as it is proper to express our anger or grief differently across the spectrum of intimacy from stranger to close friend, we do the same thing with joy. you get a promotion or a raise or a great evaluation or your proposal is accepted. You can't wait to get home and tell your husband. As you get off the subway, you run into a neighbor, a friend. You see a friend from time to time at school events. You burst into song. My proposal was accepted. I won the competition. But you don't. That would be an example of impropriety. You don't know your neighbor well enough. Instead, you try to calm the exuberance showing on your face. You keep your song to yourself. You just smile and say, "Things are good. How are you doing?" But when you see your husband, the good news bursts out of you and you embrace each other, beaming with the joy of it. You share the biggest successes and happinesses in your life with your spouse or your parents or your closest friends. And even your closest friends may have trouble feeling your joy in the same way that you do. Interesting, right? Let me finish with the kids say the darndest things. We were watching TV the other night, and they showed the statue in New York that welcomes the huddled masses. So I asked my daughter, I said, what is that? And she turns around and says, "The statue delivery." Yeah, statue delivery. Thank you for tuning in. I don't have anything else for you. If I can do something for you, let me know. Otherwise, if you enjoyed the episode, share it with a buddy of yours, and we will talk back with you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.